Well, good morning and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Now, for several weeks now, we've been studying about the death of Christ and how it affected different people, or how their story points to some key principle in the message of salvation. For example, last week we talked about the man named Barabbas and how Christ died in his place. And although Barabbas was guilty, he was set free through the death of Jesus Christ. And that is how we as lost sinners are. We're guilty, bound for death and punishment, but we're able to be set free because of the death of Jesus Christ. So this morning, we're going to go ahead and continue with the same concept and talk about the death of Jesus Christ and the role that some people played in it. So listen closely as Pastor Reynolds shares some more truth about the death of Jesus Christ as we talk about the man Pontius Pilate.
The last two radio broadcasts, we have studied two different characters whose lives played into the scene of Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary. The first week, we studied the life of Simon of Cyrene. And the next week, we studied the life of Barabbas. This week, we would like to study Pontius Pilate, who was the governor of the land of Israel, and how he condemned Christ to death on the cross of Calvary. Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor of Judah during the time of Jesus' ministry, as stated in Matthew 27 and verse number 2. The Bible said this, "And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." It is true that Pilate was a judge during the trial of Christ, but it is also true that Pilate ordered the crucifixion of Christ. But there is ample evidence that Pilate believed Christ to be innocent of the crimes the Jews cast on him. Pilate, you see, was in a very tight place, and he did the only thing he could do. It is true that Pilate's wife warned him to have nothing to do with Jesus Christ because she believed he was a just man because she had had many dreams about him that very night. It is also true that Pilate offered Barabbas instead of Christ, but the unbelieving Jews had rather have Barabbas turn loose on them and crucified Christ. Therefore, Pilate allowed the unbelieving Jews to really crucify Jesus Christ. First of all, though, it doesn't seem as if Pontius Pilate had anything to do at all with the arrest of Jesus Christ. All four Gospels states that the arrest of Christ came at the request of the Jews, not of Pontius Pilate. I want to read to you these four passages that make it abundantly clear that the chief priests and scribes and elders of the Jews were really the ones who were guilty of arresting Christ and bringing all the charges against him. Matthew 26 and verse 47 states, "And while they yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people." This verse, Matthew 26 verse 47, should be enough to show that the Roman government had nothing at all to do with bringing Christ into court. But notice what Mark 14, verse 43 states. "And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders." Now, we've read to you Matthew 26, verse 47, and also Mark 14, verse 43. These two passages ought to make it very clear that Pilate had no interest in condemning Christ to death. The false trial of Christ took place at night. This was an illegal trial. But the Jews were not interested in hearing the truth of the matter. They were only interested in crucifying Jesus Christ. John 18, verse number 3, adds to the truth of these statements by openly declaring this statement. "Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh hither with lanterns and torches, and weapons. I personally think that it is very interesting to read about the great multitude that came to take Christ captive. John 18:4 reveals that Jesus Christ asked them, "Whom seek ye?" even though he knew exactly who they were seeking. John 18, verses 4 through 8 states this: "Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come on him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto he, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them." Notice in verse number 6. "As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none." You see, these accusers of Christ actually fell backward to the ground when Jesus told them who he was. He did not do anything but speak the truth, and they could not even stand upright when he told them. But how many men are really included in the band of men? A band of men, according to the scriptures, is somewhere between 500 and 1,000 men. That is a lot of people, right? You think about the size of this group. If each man took up a 2 foot wide by 2 foot deep space, and that's pretty small, and this space would also include all the lanterns and all the torches and all the weapons that they carried. Well, that's a very small space, isn't it? But 500 men would take up a space approximately 100 feet wide and 20 feet deep. If the band of men was composed of 1,000 men, that would take up a space approximately 100 feet wide and 40 feet deep. This is a great amount of people to take only one captive. And Jesus Christ didn't even have a sword. I do realize that Peter had a sword, because all four Gospels say that he had a sword. But John 18, verse number 10, records that Peter drew his sword and he cut off the high priest's servant's right ear. Isn't it amazing that it's mentioned here in John 18, verse number 10, that the high priest's servant's ear, right ear, was cut off. What is left ear? But he cut off his right ear. The servant's name even was given. The Bible says his name was Malchus. I would imagine that blood freely flowed from the wound. But Jesus Christ healed the man's cut off right ear in front of the people, telling Peter to put up his sword, that he must drink of the cup his father had given him to drink. Well, this is a great story, is it not? But, you know, I personally think that all of the men who came to arrest Christ were greatly afraid, because Jesus Christ had done so many miracles among them, they did not know what he would do. But Jesus didn't harm any of them. He simply said, I am he, and they all fell backward, not forward. I would imagine Judas Iscariot also fell backward, but none of the other apostles, I don't think, even fell down. This would be a good time for Christ to escape, don't you think? If he desired to escape, I think it'd be a good time. All the people that came to get him were laying on the ground backward. But Jesus Christ didn't run off. He didn't hide from this great band of men who had come to take him captive. Jesus Christ came into the world to die for the sins of mankind. And die he would. He would even die for the band of men who came to take him captive. He came to die for them also, that they could be saved, if they would only repent and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That is marvelous love, is it not? That is rich love. That is eternal love. Only Christ could love wicked men with the kind of love that he would give them eternal life even when they would kill him. Jesus Christ didn't deserve death, but Jesus Christ freely yielded himself up to death that he might save all those that come to him. Christ did not run away. I'm glad he didn't run away. I'm glad he is my eternal Savior. Jesus Christ stayed, and Jesus Christ suffered all the unjust things that man could do to him. He suffered all the wickedness for my sake, in my place. He didn't deserve any of the wicked things that came upon him, but I did. Jesus Christ died for me. All the band of men were armed with lanterns and torches and weapons. Why were they armed so heavily when Jesus was not armed with anything at all? You know, this shows us how much each of these men knew Christ was innocent, but they hated him all the same. These people needed evil company all around them so they would have the strength to even approach Christ. And what did all these men do when Jesus told them who he was? Well, the Bible said they went backward and fell to the ground. The Bible doesn't say what they did with all the armament they were carrying when they fell backward. But I can imagine 500 torches and 500 weapons and 500 lanterns going everywhere. The Bible doesn't say anybody got burned or injured when they fell to the ground. So I suppose that nobody got burned or injured or hurt. But back to our study about Pontius Pilate. I'm not saying that Pilate was an excellent ruler, or that nothing ever got out of control when he was the ruler. Because everybody has problems. Nothing ever goes the way you want to go, right? The Bible says in the book of Luke 13, verse number 1, there were present at that season some that had told him, that is Christ, of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Wow. Pilate was not a perfect ruler. There was people that disagreed with him. Every day he would have to make a ruling that somebody would disagree with. This is the way that it is. In this place, some of these Jews told Christ of the actions of Pilate, which they evidently thought were very wrong. The story they told was of some Jews who were rebelling against the Roman government, of which Pilate was a judge. It seemed these people, whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices, were members of a sect of the Jews who believed it was not lawful to give tribute to Caesar. Their actions, of course, made Pilate very angry. And he sent soldiers, and he slew those people who were supposedly worshiping God at the feast of the Passover. As they were offering their sacrifices in the temple, he had them killed, and so mixed their blood with the blood of the Passover lambs. The Jews were naturally very upset over this and desired to know exactly what Christ, who was also a Jew, thought of it. But listen to what Jesus' answer was. Jesus Christ never said they were right or they were wrong. Jesus Christ never condemned either Pilate or the ones Pilate killed. Luke 13, verse 2 through 5, records his answer. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffer such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower and Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus Christ told these people exactly what they needed to hear. He told them that they were accountable for their own actions. You see, it is very good to be more like Christ and less like us. It is much better to be heavenly minded and not so earthly minded. The Jews apparently wanted Christ to condemn Pilate and the government he represented. But Christ did not condemn either Pilate or the men he killed. Instead, he told them they all must repent or perish. This is a real good lesson for us. We ought to keep our minds focused on the things that are eternal, not the temporary things of this life. Whether you are for or against our government, the main thing in your life ought to be what you do for Christ. He is the eternal one, and he will still be alive when this world is burned up, and there is a new heaven and a new earth. He will still be alive. We will still be accountable unto him. It is much more important that we do every day what God wants us to do, and nothing else. It also appears that Pilate wanted to let Jesus go, but he didn't, because of the insistence of the Jews. I remind you once again that Pilate's wife, in Matthew 27:19, warned Pilate by stating, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Pilate was in a very serious situation. Pilate wanted to let Jesus go, but it was impossible for him to let Christ go free. He even offered the mob a choice. He would either turn Jesus loose or he would turn Barabbas loose. And Barabbas was a murderer. They chose instead to have the murderer turned free and Jesus Christ crucified. There was a very great uproar during the night, and Pilate frankly had no choice but to allow the crucifixion of Christ. Further proof of the fact that Pilate had no choice but to allow Christ to be crucified is shown in Acts chapter 3. In this place, Peter and John had just healed the man lame from his mother's womb as they were going into the temple at the ninth hour to pray. In Acts 3, verse 11 through verse 15, here is a good graphic illustration of what happened. "And as the lame man, which was healed, helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why ye look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?'" And Peter is referring to the fact that the lame man, he is now healed, and he is causing a big uproar because he went into the temple and there he worshiped God and he was jumping all around. Peter says, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus." Notice what he says here. "Whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we all are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye now see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." You see, in verse 13, Peter very plainly states that the Jews were guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ, not Pilate. In verse 14, Peter very clearly tells the people they denied the Holy One and the Just, and they desired a murder to be released in their midst. Pilate was a judge. That is true. But Pilate unsuccessfully tried to turn Jesus loose because he knew the people were against Christ. Pilate three times offers to release Jesus Christ or Barabbas. In Luke 23, verse 22, the Bible says this, "And he said unto them the third time, 'Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him at all. I will therefore chasten him and let him go.'" You see, in this verse, that's in Luke 23, verse 22, Pilate says the third time. That's what the Bible says. Notice in Acts 4 and verse 27, the entire church prayed to God, recognizing that the entire world was guilty of the crucifixion of Christ. In Acts 4, verse 27, they prayed, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." The truth is, is that we are all very guilty of the terrible, unjust death of Jesus Christ. Herod was guilty. Pontius Pilate was guilty. All the Gentiles were guilty. All the people of Israel were guilty. Christ was innocent, and he died that every person could find eternal life. He gave his life that we might have eternal life if we will just repent and believe in Jesus Christ. In Acts 13, verse 28, Paul preaches at Antioch about the death of Christ by stating this: "And they found no cause of death in him at all, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain." Paul continues preaching, which states a very obvious truth in Acts 13, verse 30. "But God raised him from the dead." You see, Christ could not stay dead. His Father raised him from the dead. Therefore, Jesus Christ gives eternal life to all who simply repent and believe in him. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 13, Paul declares to Timothy that he should be a good witness exactly as Christ was before Pilate. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11 through verse 14, the Bible declares, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Now notice in verse 13, "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." I have heard that Pilate suffered greatly because he turned Christ over to the mob who hanged Christ on Calvary. But I don't find that the case. At least, it's not the case that's written in the Word of God. I do know that Pilate needed to be saved, just like every other lost person needs to be saved. You see, there is no difference at all between Pilate and any other lost sinner. All need to confess their sins and believe in Christ that he would give them eternal life. After the crucifixion of Christ, Pilate allowed Joseph of Arimathea to take the body of Christ for a proper burial. Matthew 27, verse 57 to 58 declares, "When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commended the body to be delivered." Joseph of Arimathea, with Nicodemus, took Jesus Christ's body and buried it in a tomb that had never been used at all. All these things point to us the fact that Pontius Pilate was the judge, all right, in that day. But he was a man that was a sinner that needed salvation just as much as the Jews did, just as much today as we do. We need Jesus Christ, precious to our own soul. You see, Pontius Pilate was a sinner. He needed to be saved, just like all of us need to be saved. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for sinners, and Pilate was a sinner. That is true, but you are too. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 14 that God looked upon the earth at all the people upon this earth, and God saw that every person was going aside from him, and every person needed a Savior. This is you, and this is me. We need Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can ever wash away all of our sins. Nobody else can. All of our sins pile up before us, and we sin more and more every day. But Jesus Christ, because he loves us so much, he can forgive us of all of those sins if we will simply repent that we are a sinner and trust Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Salvation is not what we do for ourselves. It is what God does for us because we cannot do anything at all for ourselves. I know that after we're saved, we ought to join a church. I know that after we're saved, we ought to be scripturally baptized. I know that after we're saved, we ought to work for the Lord. We ought to do what God wants us to do. But at the point of being saved, all that a person can do is to repent that they're lost and trust Jesus Christ. He is the one that literally gives salvation. He is the one that bought it. He's the one that paid for it. He's the one that earned it. And it's His gift that He gives freely to anybody that'll just come to Him, recognize that they're a sinner, and repent of their sins and trust Jesus Christ, and they might have everlasting life. This is the way it is. Today, if you're lost, we urge you today to just trust Jesus Christ. And don't trust anything that you've ever done, but trust Jesus Christ. Listen, every person has an eternity. Every person will spend their eternity either in hell or in heaven. Which will it be for you? This is a very serious thing that we're bringing up. Where will you spend eternity? Forever and ever, time without end. You're either going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. If you're going to be in heaven, you're going to have to trust Jesus Christ, because He's the only one that can get you to heaven. Your works will never do it. You can join a church. You can be baptized. You can do all kinds of good things. But if you don't trust Christ, you'll be lost. You need to trust Christ. Today is the day of your salvation. Trust Him. Today is our eternal prayer for you. We brought you this message about Pontius Pilate. But let me ask you as we close today, do you think Pilate was ever saved? Well, I don't know. What about Barabbas? Do you think he was saved? You know, I don't know if he was or not. But I believe that Simon of Cyrene was a saved person after he came in contact with Jesus Christ. But it's very important, as we close out this message, for you to realize that only Jesus Christ can wash away your sins. We can't say about Barabbas. We really can't say about Pilate. And we really can't say about you either. All I know is that I am saved by the grace of Almighty God. I pray today that if you're lost, that you might come to Christ and just trust Him. Jesus Christ can wash away all of your sins. It doesn't make any difference what kind of sins you sinned. Jesus Christ can forgive them, and He can wash them all away. All you need to do is to repent that you are lost and that you have sinned before Almighty God, and trust Jesus Christ and His own shed blood that He shed for you on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ can wash away all of your sins. I pray today that you might see Jesus Christ. He is the one that can save you. Trust Him.
You know, we pray that the messages have been a blessing and that we've been reminded of some of the great truths, some of the things that we've learned about Jesus Christ, that we've maybe even grown a little bit as a Christian. And for those of you that may be lost, we trust that this has been yet another thing that God will use to get your attention and to show you your need of Jesus Christ. Now, as we come down to the close of the broadcast, we do want to remind you of a few opportunities and ways that you can learn more about Jesus, learn more about Independence Baptist Church and what we believe. The best way, of course, is to drop by and visit with us in person. We're located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. We'll be meeting this morning starting with Sunday school at 10 a.m. And then, of course, this is going to be followed by worship services at 11 a.m., a prayer meeting at 3:45, and then our evening worship services at 4:30. Another way to learn more about us is to listen to some of our full-length sermons. You can do that at www.sermonaudio.com/IBC. And finally, you can read many different books and articles on our website, which is at www.independencebaptist.org. Well, our time for today is up, but we are thankful the Lord allowed you to join us this morning. And we look forward to being with you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. as we look once again into the Holy Word of God.